I'm Denise.
She's a non-fiction editor.
And I'm Louise.
She's a fiction editor. And together,
we're the Editing Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Editing Podcast. This week, we're chatting about why your editorial business offering might be ripe for some changes.
And if you're one of our Tier 2 patron supporters, there's a special bonus episode where Denise and I chat for about an extra 40 minutes about when, how, and why change came about in our own businesses and how this affected our messaging and marketing.
Yeah, that's another 40 or so minutes of personal reflection there.
Yeah.
But in this episode, we're going to take a more structured approach that focuses on you, not us.
Yeah. So first, we're going to look at some of the reasons why you might be thinking it's time to introduce some tweaks to your business offering, signals that you need to change things up.
Then we'll consider what that change might look like.
And then we'll look at what the benefits for you might be if you were to make these changes.
And we'll wrap up with some tips on how to do it strategically. In other words, in a way that means it's planned around the outcomes that you want to achieve.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with those signals. What are the signs we all need to look out for that might indicate we should be thinking about making changes? So the first and most obvious one is that you're seeing, I guess, a decline in client inquiries, or the amount of repeat work you're getting is perhaps not as good as it used to be.
Yeah, and that could be an indication that either the market's more competitive than it used to be, or that the people who might once have got in touch with you are using digital tools to do this work themselves instead.
Yeah, or there could be a global economic conditions that mean that the kind of people you've tended to work with in the past can't actually currently afford to work with you. And the fact is that there could be multiple different reasons behind the shift you're experiencing, but the important thing to bear in mind is that at least you've noticed it and acknowledged it.
Exactly. That really is the critical first step. Understanding that there's a problem that's affecting your bookings and that you need to respond to it in some way.
Yeah.
Another signal that it could be time for change is signs of burnout or loss of passion. So while the previous sign that all's not well was about external factors, this one's about you.
Yes, an internal sign. Mm. So let's look at the passion side of things first. Perhaps you're bored of doing the same kind of editing, or you're finding that working with a certain type of client isn't fulfilling you like it once did. And the risk, I guess, here is that you're feeling unfulfilled. And if that's the case, you're not going to be engaged in what you're doing. And that negative mindset could filter through into your work, however hard you try to ensure that it doesn't.
Mm. But an even bigger red flag would be if your work is starting to make you anxious and unable to think straight.
Mm.
That could be a signal that burnout's around the corner, and then that's a whole other ballgame, isn't it?
Yeah,
because
definitely.
We all need to prioritise our mental well-being, ideally before we crash, not after.
Absolutely. So another signal could be that new technologies have emerged or are emerging, and that some of your former potential clients might be choosing to explore those instead of commissioning you.
Yeah, now some of that software might work hardest when it's complemented by human intervention, but it might be that some of the people who were your target clients in the past are now just simply taking the human out of that loop.
Yeah, and we're hearing more and more discussions about this in the editing community and beyond. Mm. Our translator colleagues have been impacted in this way, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They really have. And it's a good reminder that well, nothing stays the same, does it?
Yeah.
You know, there's always been new technologies emerging. And for that reason, editors have always had to be adaptable.
I think what's so stark now is the pace of it all, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas once it could take years for a new technology to, or it felt like it was taking a few years for a new technology to affect the approach people took to editorial work. Now it's much faster. And that means we need to be able to adapt faster too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we don't have the time to sit in the fence. Otherwise, we're going to get left behind, aren't we?
Yeah.
So a fourth signal could be that your income is stagnating. So even though the work offers are still coming in, just like they always have, perhaps the fees you're being offered aren't keeping up with the cost of living.
And that means you're working just as hard, but seeing a poorer return on that labour. Mm. And if, like us, or wherever you live in the world, and you're seeing your fuel and food and utility and rent or mortgage bills going up, that makes the hit even harder to bear.
Yeah, it really does.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are four signals that we can all look out for that indicate it's time to consider making a change. The question is then, what might that change actually look like?
Yeah. Now, we're not going to pretend we've got a magic wand, mm-hmm. but what we can do is chat today about three possible responses to those warning signals and why they're beneficial. So the first change to consider is whether you might start working in different subject or genre areas.
Yeah, and so that might mean adding new specialist areas that you're prepared to work in. So, for example, if you're currently doing just medical editing, could you look at adding other STEM or allied health disciplines to your business and maybe get in touch with publishers who have lists in those areas?
Yeah, or another approach might be to look at the types of materials you work on in your existing specialism field. So if you're a fiction editor, could you develop your business so that you're not just focusing on editing novels, but also on writing or editing blurbs and synopses?
That's an interesting one, isn't it? Yeah. Or if you edit medical books and journals, could you develop that offering so that it extends to grant proposals or abstracts, data documents or technical reports? So the benefit here is that you're widening the value that you offer your potential clients.
Yeah, and in all those cases, the key would be to ensure that your promotional materials reflect that clearly. So your website and directory listings, for example, they all need to match with that. Mm. But second change you might consider, which is related, is the type of editing you actually do. So maybe you're a pure proofreader. Could you carry out additional training so that you can add another type of editing like copy editing or line editing?
Yeah, or if you already offer developmental editing, could you add a coaching service to your offering or maybe offer shorter manuscript critiques or reviews if you're not already doing that?
Yeah, and so in both those cases, the types of changes you're making are about your service offering, the subject matter and the level of intervention. And both of those changes could bring a reward of making you more competitive.
Hmm. And we should say that you might decide that you want to make changes to the types of editing or subjects or genres that you offer, but not by broadening, but by niching down even further, particularly if you have quite a wide remit at the moment.
Yeah, and that approach is all about signalling to the market that you're a high-level specialist. So, for example, if you've branded yourself as a fiction editor, you might narrow that down so that you're only a thriller editor.
Mm, and if you're a non-fiction editor, you niche down to perhaps being only a legal specialist or an academic specialist. Now, there's no right or wrong approach to this. It really is a very personal decision, but that can be some people's preference, right?
Yeah.
A third type of change that you might consider is changing your pricing model.
And yes, you can increase your prices. If you're visible to the types of clients who are willing to pay those prices, this is a great move. But some of you might be thinking, but I'm not sure I am visible to those types of clients, not yet. And yeah. Making it so that I am visible and attracted to them will take time. I need change now.
Yeah, and that's a fair point, isn't it?
Yeah.
In which case, you could think about restructuring your pricing package so that you can introduce a range of packages that suit different budgets.
Yeah, so it might be that you offer a pared back package to clients that you know are going to be budget sensitive, while introducing more expensive packages with more value to another audience.
Mm. Or you could restructure your pricing packages to introduce add-ons. So a copy edit with a 2-page editorial report costs X, but for an extra fee, you'll provide a 25-page editorial review. And perhaps clients could also buy a 1-hour coaching session or a related webinar that you've created.
Yeah, I quite like this idea of sticking with what you've got, but just kind of repackaging it in different ways.
And adding more value and, you know, broadening out a little bit.
Yeah. So what we're saying is think about how the value you currently offer is bundled and ask yourself whether perhaps it can be deconstructed and put back together in a different way.
Yeah. And in that way, you're still offering the same services, but you're giving clients choices about what they get. And that helps both you and them navigate this global economic situation while respecting the fact that most people are feeling the pinch, but in different ways.
Exactly. So we touched on this, but another change you might consider concerns marketing. And the issue is here, it's a case of reflecting on whether the way you've gone about marketing in the past is still working for you. Mm. So maybe you've always relied on word of mouth or referrals from colleagues.
Yeah, or perhaps you've relied on one specific directory or another type of space in which you advertise. And it may be that these have worked fine for years, but now they're not. And it could be that the directory that you were in has more people than it did before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's such a simple thing, but, you know, yeah. it could change quite a lot for us. Mm-hmm. And it could be that the word of mouth contacts that you have had for all this time have moved on to new pastures and aren't in contact with you anymore.
Yeah, or it could be that some of your ideal clients are using AI-based search engines rather than the ones we're all used to hunt for editors, and you're not showing up there. So as we said earlier, make sure that if you're changing up your services, that information is singing from your website.
Yeah. And it might be that you decide that you need to introduce content marketing into your business, or that you need to overhaul your website or renew your branding.
Yeah, and you might need to think about what you can do to make your website AI friendly, as well as, of course, human friendly. Mm-hmm. There's some amazing guidance on making your website AI friendly coming out from Andy Crestodina at the moment, one of yours are my heroes.
Yeah, definitely. So we should definitely stick a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah,
he's an example of someone offering a different service, that's websites and online marketing specifically, but who's always thinking about how changes in the world mean that we need to adapt and how we can do that quickly.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Mm. So we've talked about signals and three possible responses, or was it four? We miscounted. Now let's have a look about how we might go about making changes strategically. In other words, making sure that we don't react in a knee-jerk way, but instead do some work to understand what the issue is, why that might mean change is necessary, and how we're going to respond.
Yeah. So a good way to start is by doing a sort of audit on your business and seeing if you can spot any patterns or trends over the past few years and months that are giving you cause for concern.
So, one, how are you feeling about your current offering? In other words, are you enjoying the type of editing you do and who you do it for? And how does that compare with how you felt 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah. Two, are you still getting enough work so that your business is paying you what you need it to pay you to live? And even if you are, how does that compare with previous years? Is the trend on track or has it declined?
Yeah. And then three, what are your costs? Are they higher than they were in previous years so that what you're netting is smaller than in the past? And is this a problem for you? Or perhaps you're in a situation where it doesn't matter because maybe there's another income earner in your family.
Yeah. So once you know what your position is in terms of bookings, income and outgoings, then you can set some clear goals. So for example, you might decide on 3 short-term goals and 2 long-term goals.
Yeah, so a short-term goal might be that you decide within 30 days to test a restructure of your offering so that the same services are available, but they're segmented and priced in a different way.
Or you might decide to add a new service immediately, one that you haven't offered in the past, but feel comfortable introducing, and creating a page for that on your website. For example, editing grant proposals or offering an abstract writing service.
Yeah, or creating an add-on for editing query letters or writing book blurbs for novels you've already edited.
And one of your longer-term goals then might be to change up how you go about marketing to get to specific audiences.
Yeah. Or it could be to invest in some training that enables you to carry out types of editing work that you haven't done before. And once you've implemented that, you commit to reviewing that over the next 6 months so that you can see whether the change has been effective.
Yeah. So let's wrap up. When it comes to whether we should make changes to our editorial businesses, there is no right or wrong answer. You might decide it's not necessary, but even if you decide it is, how you approach that change might be completely different to the choices a colleague makes.
Yeah, that's so right, isn't it? There's no law about this, the way you do it. There's no one size fits all.
Yeah.
The key takeaway is that change isn't just sometimes necessarily, it's actually normal in business. And by being aware of patterns and trends and what red flags to look out for, we can be prepared to adapt in a planned way so that we keep ourselves and our businesses healthy.
Exactly. So that's it from us. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget that if you're one of our Tier 2 Patreon supporters, you can listen to a bonus episode in which we chat about our personal experiences of making changes to our editing businesses.
Yeah. And thank you so much for supporting us by listening. Until next time, she's been Denise.
And she's been Louise. Join us again soon.
Bye.
Excellent.